Acts 27. Let's turn there. Get my Garth Brooks mic here fixed. I'll get it. All righty. Acts 27. And we'll just read a couple of verses, starting verse 27. It's good for you all to be. I thank you. Wonderful crowd tonight, as Randy's already said. And last night, God came in a very special way. And we're thanking the Lord for that. And just, it. I don't know. You all tell me you had a good time, but I don't know if I may have more of a good time than anybody else. But it was good for me, and just it's good to be back in the pulpit where people want you to be you and just preach like you know how to preach, and that means so much. I don't have to worry about impressing anybody. Just get up here and preach. I preach the word, and that's what you called us here to do. And we're thankful for your support of our ministry, as already mentioned last night. And I do want to just say a couple things before I get into the sermon. Here in just a couple of weeks, September the 8th and the 9th, will be a very big couple of days for us. It's the Calvin and Doris Evans Memorial Camp Meeting. And we're celebrating 55 years of ministry this year. And we've kind of said we're coming full circle. And that's exactly the way it is. Years ago, Calvin started his television ministry in Huntington, West Virginia. And so now we're going back to Huntington. To honor the life of two of the greatest people that ever walked the face of the earth, and that's Calvin and Doris Evans. And we'll be at Christ Temple Church on September the 8th and the 9th. And the Lord, it's just, you know, we stand back continually amazed, and yet I don't think we should be, but yet we are, how He works things out so wonderfully. And our hands were tied this year. Daystar Television in Ashland, they closed down the studio, so... You know, we knew we were crowded. We knew we didn't have no room to grow. The parking was a problem. We knew all that. But yet they were so good to us over there and got great video footage and things like that. And so we just prayed about it. Said, Lord, you can work this out. Well, with the closing of that station, now that opened up a door where we could have go somewhere else. So we started praying about it and thinking about it. And so they approached us from Christ Temple about using their facilities. And they have just went above and beyond. Making sure that everything is taken care of, and they're going to be providing the camera people for us and good people that we know. Mark Hale from Sincere, he's going to be running the sound, and Rodney Underwood, who's Tammy Underwood, who sings with the Perry Sisters, he's going to be directing the video and all this, and he does a lot of video work for us as well. And so it's just amazing how God puts everything together, a beautiful church facility. And so I want you all to come. It's not very far for you. Just exit 8 right there. You know where it's at. Christ Temple Church, September the 8th and the 9th. That's a Thursday and Friday night at 7 o'clock. You don't have to pay anything to get in. The McCameys will be there on Thursday night and the Primitive Quartet on Friday night. And you can't find any two greater groups in the country that will just come and sing and bless your heart. And then Calvary and myself will be preaching those two nights. And then just in the last few days... they've added an extra, not us particularly, but some friends of ours are coming together on that Saturday, on the 10th, and they're putting together a live music video. There's about six different groups, most of them are from Ohio, but they're coming together there on September the 10th on that Saturday night at 7 o'clock, a free concert. They're just going to come in and just do some videotaping, so you're invited to go to that as well. So it's just three great nights there that we hope you'll join us. And we feel God's going to bless the efforts of you for coming out and invite people to come. We've done everything we know to do to tell people about it. So now we just need to pray that God will plant the seed and that it'll reach people's heart and that they'll come. Because we not about lifting our name up, but we do want to see people saved. That's what it's all about. So God's given us a beautiful place to come this year, and we hope that you'll join us there. It's good to have Kermit and Dorothy as Randy's already mentioned them, Kermit's on our board of directors of our ministry, and so we love him to death. And Fred and Wanda drove up Calvin Ray tonight, and they're riding together, and they're from our church. We call them Ruby Villains. That's what we call people from Rubyville, Ruby Villains. So, and we invite you to come down to our home church. We have I won't go into too many details, a homecoming revival coming up the first Sunday in October, Sunday through Wednesday night. Got some great preachers coming in, Roger Duncan, Mike Blanton, and Mike McCoy. And we want you to come and see our new sanctuary, what you helped us pray about it, and the Lord's led us in it. So we want you to come and join it with us. And It's I drove the length to here, from here to home. So I think, you know, you could probably drive from there to where I live. Or I even live 30 minutes past the church. So you can at least do that much for us. Please, just ask him, please. It'd be great. Just return the favor. But at least you would get to hear some good preaching at that at that homecoming revival. Okay, Acts 27. And we will read verses 27 and 28. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in the Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country and sounded, and found it at 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. That's what we're actually taking for a text tonight, and I'll share with you what is on my heart here before we get into the heart of the sermon. We get sermons a variety of ways, and this sermon thought came to me as we was at our youth camp back in July, and the preacher preached out of this subject, and he was reading almost the entire chapter, and this verse about sounding just popped out in me, and the Lord said, study on that a little bit. And so I did, and I found some interesting things. I had no idea what it meant to sound the sea. And after I did, the Lord revealed to me the way we should go with this text. But sounding the sea was very important for people that were on a ship because it determined how close you were to the shore. And so what they would do is they would take a large item, whether it would be an anchor type or a piece of lead, that would be tied to a large rope. And that rope would be marked by pieces of leather every so many fathoms. Usually, most typical people that I read after said it was marked about every 6 fathoms. And then when it got to a significant point of 20 fathoms or a certain length, they would mark it with an extra collar, a white or a black piece of leather. That way they would know exactly how far they were from the shore. And basically they would take that piece of lead or that anchor and they would throw it out into the sea. And when it would hit the bottom, they would pull that rope taut. And wherever it marked, that's how they knew how far they were from the shore. So we read from our text that they threw it out. They sounded and it was 20 fathoms. And then they threw it out again and it says they were 15 fathoms. And I know this is a simple thought, but this is what the Lord revealed to me. They were nearing the shore. So that's what I want to preach on tonight. We're nearing the shore. And see, they sounded, and the closer they got to the shore, some things happened. And see, in our lives, if we could just, you know, we pray like the psalmist David, Lord, how long? How long am I going to have to continue in the life? How long is it going to be before you come back? And I can hear the Lord almost sounding the sea of life, saying, just hold on. We're getting nearer the shore. But just as in this chapter, there are some things that's going to happen to us as well on this sea of life that we'll have to face before we reach the shore. First of all, you'll notice that they hit a storm. Before they reached the shore, they hit a storm. In fact, in the chapter here, it gives it a specific name. Now, we're facing a storm right now, as Kelly already alluded to it, Hurricane Irene. Well, you know if it's a fierce storm when they give it a name. I know they give every tropical storm a name. Sometimes it develops into some major storms. Some of them we forget about, but some of them we really remember throughout our lives. Hurricane Andrew, I think, was one of them. Now, Hurricane Irene and all Hurricane Katrina and all these that play in our mind because they were major storms. Well, they gave this storm a name. It was called Euroclydon. Euroclydon. The type of storm that it was almost a perfect storm, if you will. It was boisterous winds. It was high waves. And they set out at the beginning of this chapter, the south wind blew softly. And they felt like it was okay to go ahead to their destination. But on their way to their destination, they ran into this perfect storm. They ran to high winds. They ran into high waves. And so the Bible tells us, and I firmly believe, and I think you would all agree, before we reach our heavenly shore, we will face some storms in our life. Sometimes the boisterous winds will come and the waves will beat into our ship and the devil will like to beat us up with those things and to try to sink our ship. But I want you to notice some things that happened about this storm. First of all, the purpose in the storm. See, God allows certain things to happen in our lives and Paul was no stranger to storms. He probably faced more time on a boat than anybody in the Bible and he knew what a storm was and he knew the storms were there for a reason or for a purpose. And in our lives tonight, so many times sometimes we want to look at the storms and we say, oh, woe is me. I don't know how I can do this. Lord, why would you want to do this? And I know sometimes we ask why. And there's nothing wrong with that because we're trying to find what God's will is for our life. But may we never, ever say, Lord, I'm mad at you for allowing this to happen to me. Because every storm we go through, I guarantee it, there is a purpose behind it. And most of the time, the purpose is to get us focused not on the storm, but on the one that can calm the storm. It's not on the sickness, so to speak, but it's on the great physician. And so many things, so many times storms come to direct our paths to get us into the right place. So there's a purpose behind the storm. Then there was the presence during the storm. They set out. Paul was on the sea. They came to him. Everybody was afraid because they thought they were going to die. But Paul gave these wonderful words. He said, fellas, you don't have to worry. You don't have to be afraid. Because there stood by me in the night. I talked to someone last night. And he was beside me. And he said, we're all going to make it to the other side. Oh, that's a great thought in knowing that we may face storms. And yes, there's a purpose behind the storm. But right in the midst of the storm, thank God the presence of God can be with us. Jesus can be with us. And you may think he's so far away. You may think he's on the seashore miles away, but just like the disciples that were out in the midst of the sea, the Bible says Jesus saw them. He was miles away on the seashore praying, but he still saw them in the midst of the storm. That's a great promise tonight, folks, that when we go through the storm, yes, there is a purpose, but thank God there can stand by us Jesus Christ saying, I'm with you till the end of the way. He'll never leave us or forsake us. The presence of God that was with us. I told you last night and shared with you the storm that I went through recently. And when I got through praying, Jesus was right there beside me. And so many times you've been in those places when you didn't know what to do but except cry and say, Lord, help. But in His way, in His time, for His glory, God showed up in His special way and said, I'm right here, child. I'm right here. Don't worry, we're going to make it through the storm. The purpose of the storm, the presence in the storm, but then the promise before the storm. He said, some of us on boards and some of us on broken pieces, but there's not going to be a loss of life. No one is going to die on this ship. It's going to be rough, oh yes, and the vessel's going to be broken, and we may have to float in. Some of us may have to crawl in, but thank God we're all going to make it to the other side. What a promise we have tonight, folks. We are bound to face persecution. We are bound to face turmoil. God promised us that in these last days, it's not going to get any easier, but He said, hallelujah, it is not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And He said, I'll be with you all the way to the end. He's promised us that we will go through some hard trials. But thank God if we just stay true to Him, we may float in on that broken piece. But thank God we're all going to make it to the other side. Hallelujah. Listen to His words. Be not afraid. They face storms. But then they face sickness of a sort. And you'll understand what I mean here in just a little bit. But before we reach the other shore, we're going to face storms, but we're going to face sickness. We are. The sickness that I'm talking about here in the spiritual sense was their ship was broken before they reached the shore. We've heard songs and scriptures referring to our life as a ship sailing on the sea of life. And before we reach that shore, I guarantee our bodies will be broken by sickness. There ain't nobody in the Bible that knew about sickness more than Paul. I mean, there was in Corinthians, I believe, if memory serves, there's a whole list of things that he wrote about that he had to face. Sicknesses, stripes, deaths, oft, he said. Rods, he was stoned, shipwrecked 3 times. Perils, and he had a whole list of perils that he listed. Pain, weariness, hunger, thirst, cold. He was naked. Then he said, above all this, the cares of all the churches. He knew about sickness. And he prayed. He prayed, Lord, if it be thy will you remove this thorn? Remove this thorn. And we know what the thorn in the flesh was. It goes right on to say, it was the messenger of Satan to buffet him. That word buffet means with a closed fist, smacking you. hitting you. That's the way Paul felt. Like every day he got up, Satan was hitting him. Now all this, the messenger of Satan to buffet him, was all these things, the cares of the world, the sickness that was compounded to the point that Satan kept beating him. And he said, "Lord, will you take it away from me?" He asked him three times. I mean, this is the Apostle Paul we're talking about. This is the one that killed Jews. And now, he's the one that instigates freedom in Jesus Christ. The one that stands before Agrippa and says, "Agrippa, I'm saved and I know it." This is the Paul that with his conversion led so many people to Christ. And yet he's praying, if anyone deserves to be healed, it's Paul. But God said, "No. No." But he said, "Paul, never fear, because with that, with all these things, the perils, the storms, the shipwreck, the sickness, the pain, the cares, with all that, I will add one more thing. And that's grace." That's God's way of addition. God's way of it, God's form of math is not taking away things so many times, but sometimes it's adding things to what we're already going through. And thank God, you can guarantee, I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed that the Lord would remove diabetes type 1 from my life. I was 13 years old when I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. And I prayed, "Lord, remove this. Lord, remove this. I don't know how I'm going to do it, Lord. Remove it, remove it. I've been prayed for. I've been anointed. I went to churches around. They prayed for me, anointed me. I even at one time just dropped all the insulin and dropped all the shots for about a day or two. I got real sick and the Lord said, 'Hey, I gave you a brain, son, use it.' And so I did. But I prayed. I was exercising my faith. I said, 'Lord, if you're going to heal me, I got to get off this medicine.' But He chose not to heal me. And I've resided in the fact that He is not going to heal me of diabetes right now." He says, "Brian, I am not going to remove it." He told me that. He said, "I'm not going to remove that thorn from your flesh." And I said, "But Lord, why?" He says, "No, with that I want to add one more ingredient to it. And it's not a pill that you're going to take. No, it's called grace. And grace is going to be with you to help you on this sea of life. That way you can stand up on August the 26th at Big Branch Church and tell Him, 'Hey, in all these years since the age of 13, 23 years, I have not been in the hospital one time for diabetes related problems. My feet are fine. My vision is fine. My circulation is fine. I have no problems whatsoever that I know of.' Why? Because God has given me grace. 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 And I'm telling you, before I reach the shore, before you reach the shore, you're going to face sickness. You're going to face cancer. You're going to face things that you never thought you'd ever face before. But thank God He may not take it away, but He may add one key ingredient, and that is grace to carry it all the way to the other side." Hallelujah. Thank God. And Paul went on to say at the end of it, through it all, he said, "I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me." I guarantee I would not be as close to God as I am now if I didn't have diabetes. I guarantee it. Because I wouldn't trust Him like I do now. Because I need Him every day. I need Him every day. I need Him every hour, every second. I need Him to help me and strengthen me. And I'm telling you, He does. Thank God. The storms you're going to face, the sickness. But the good news is, the Bible says in the last verse of this chapter, He says, "And the rest, some on board, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land." That's the last point. The storms, the sickness, but they all made it safe. I love the terminology that Paul uses here. They escaped all safe to land. Now, I just thought that was an odd term to use. And that's what the King James writers use. So I looked it up in the Greek, and the Greek form of that word is called diasozo. The word diasozo means to preserve through danger, to bring safely through, to rescue, to save from danger. So if we think about it in that aspect, some on boards, some on broken pieces, but they all made it safely through. They all were preserved from danger. The same word, diasozo, is found when Jesus was healing people. And they said that they would just want to touch the hem of His garment, that they would be made whole. The same word, whole, is the same word, escaped, that we have here in Acts 27:44. So let's think of it this way. They all made it, some on boards, some on broken pieces. They made it safely through, and they all made it whole. Whole. That means complete. They all made it safe. Like I said, Paul spent more days on the water than land, probably. 2 Timothy 4:6, he used a lot of nautical terminology in his writings. And one of those was found in 2 Timothy 4:6 when he said, "I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." He was talking about a naval term there. What he was saying was, I'm on board the Sea of Life, and now I'm ready to get off because the ship of Zion, so to speak, is picking me up. And it's about ready to depart to take me to the other side. So as I was thinking about that, I began to just ponder on it a little bit. And this year, my wife and my family, my wife and my two kids, we got to go on a vacation this year. We got to go on a cruise, and it was wonderful. First cruise I'd ever been on, and everybody said, "You'll never believe it," and I couldn't. I mean, it was just a short one because we really didn't know if we'd like it or not. Well, I'm going to take a 14-day one next time. I go. I'm telling you what, no kids this time. Amen. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, I couldn't play the slots. That's why. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. We can edit that, right? Okay. we had a great time. It was a short one. And so by the time we got used to the ship, it was time to go, you know. So, and we were green on a lot of things. I mean, we were like some tourists and like, "Where are we going? Where are we going?" Following every map. We stood in front of a map, you know, for on the walls, just trying to find where we're going and where we're going to eat and where we're doing this, where the kids are at so we can pick them up, you know, things like that. And so the day three of it, they get you ready to get off the boat. And so they give you a debarkation information. You all probably, if you've been on a cruise, you've gotten that same thing. So we read it, everything intently. We made sure we had our luggage ready to go and all this stuff. And so I really wasn't thinking spiritual. I just wanted to get home. You know, I was worried sick. I just wanted to get home. And so after I got home and after the Lord laid this sermon on my heart a few weeks later, a couple months later, I picked up that debarkation information again and I started reading over it. And the Lord said, "There's your final point of your sermon." And so thinking about this, we all making it safe to land. Thinking about Paul saying the time of my departure is at hand. I got to thinking, we're on this sea of life. And just as on that cruise, before I could get home, there's some things I had to do. First thing I had to do is I had to wait to be called. The captain had to call me before I could get off the ship. I couldn't just leave any time I wanted to. It would have been major havoc. But all I had to do was I had to wait with my family in a certain spot. And I just had to listen for the call of the captain. And what we would do, we'd be in certain zones. We were zone H. So A through, you know, A through J. No, wait. A, B, C, D, F, G. A through G. Sorry. A through G. They were all ready to go. And so here we were, H. We were about one of the last zones. So here we were. We were just waiting around. My son's getting all antsy. My daughter's getting all antsy. We know we're getting home. We know we're on port, but we couldn't get off the ship yet. We were excited to get home. So, but we had to wait on the call. And pretty soon they said, "Zone H, you're now ready to leave the ship." I said, come on kids, time to go home. And just as it was with that captain calling my zone, it's the same way it is on this earth. See, a lot of zones, some of the zones have already been on the shore. Brother Calvin and Sister Doris, they've already got their call.
Some of the ones that you remember in years gone by have already gotten their call. And they've made it safe. They've all made it safely through. They're all whole. They're all complete. And you know what we're doing? We're just sitting here. We're just waiting on our call from the cap. I would love to go right now. I would love for God to call me right now and call me home to heaven, because you know I get sick and tired of living in this sinful world. But I gotta be patient, because if I just sit and do what I'm supposed to do and be in my certain spot in His time, He will call my name and He'll say, "Brian Bear, it's time to get off the ship and come home." Hallelujah. Got to wait on the call. Secondly, we had to fill out a declaration form. And what we do was we had to declare anything that we were bringing from the country we were visiting. Because, you know, we are just pilgrims and strangers passing through. We're just visiting right here. You understand? This isn't our home. We're just visiting. So anything we could bring from this country, which happened to be Mexico at this time, we had to declare it. And so I found something interesting as I was reading this. They say, no agriculture, no meat or things like that. So I got to thinking, no flesh could I bring from the country I was visiting and make it into the other side. No, I couldn't bring any flesh. Doesn't the Bible say flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God? So I couldn't bring any of the things of the world with me. And I really didn't have anything to declare as far as this world's goods. But when I come to the other side, and when I get off the ship, I'll still have to fill out a declaration form to the spiritual customs agent. And he'll say, "Do you have anything to declare?" And I'll say, "Well, I'm bringing with me diabetes." And he'll say, "I'm sorry, but you can't bring it to this side." And so I'll have to leave it outside the gate. He'll say, "Do you have anything else to declare?" And I'll say, "Yeah, I've got contacts in. I can't see without them." He'll say, "I'm sorry. You have to leave those outside the gate." He'll say, "Do you have anything else?" I say, "Yeah, I've got some titanium screws in my back and plates from a back surgery." He'll say, "I'm sorry, but those aren't allowed inside either." And he'll go, and every one of us will pass through the heavenly custom agent. And they'll say, "Do you have anything to declare?" And you may say, "You know what? I'm bringing cancer." And he'll say, "No, you can't bring that in to the other side." They'll say, "Oh, I've got multiple sclerosis." He'll say, "No, you can't bring it in to the other side." Aren't you thankful that we can't bring anything from this world to the next world? We'll all make it safely home. But thank God, in that land, we'll have a brand spanking new body, complete and whole, made in the image and likeness of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. Now, this is the best part. After we filled out that declaration form and I waited on my call, the final thing was, I had to have proof of citizenship. Boy, isn't this good? I had to have the proof that I was a citizen of the country I was going to. And so we all had passports. And so this all proved to the customs agent, he took a look, you know. And my son would come up, you know, making sure we were who we were, you know. And we could prove. That little paper gave me proof, gave them proof that I belonged. And I was allowed to go home because I had the proof. And that heavenly customs agent, when I approach the throne of God, he'll say, "What proof do you have to be in this country?" And I'll say, "Lord, you know I've only got one thing." And I'll say, "Heavenly Father, I'll say, I know the Lord was there, your Son was there, so I think I'll let Him speak for me." And so Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will step in front of the throne room of God at that throne room of judgment, and he'll say, "Father, you don't have to worry about this one, because on September the 6th, 1981, he asked me to come into his heart, and I applied my precious blood to his soul, and he was cleansed from all of his sin. So Father, when you look at him, you see my blood." And God will say, "That's proof that you belong into this heavenly country. And you might have good works, and you might have done great things in your life, and that's all well and good in its place. But good works, a good family, a good heritage cannot grant you entrance into the kingdom of God." He'll look for one proof of citizenship, and that proof of citizenship is the blood of His only begotten Son. Christ did not bear His sins in the manger because it's not His birth that gets us into heaven. He did not bear His sins in the River Jordan because it's not baptism that gets us into heaven. He did not bear our sins in the synagogue because it's not His teachings that get us to heaven. But He bore our sins on the cross of Calvary and shed His blood for the remission of all of our sins because it is the blood that gets us into heaven. The blood is vital. It's vital to our human existence. It's a part of our body that people can't figure out. Every 23 seconds, 5 quarts of blood goes through your body. And you know what it does? It touches every cell in your body every 23 seconds. I got something better than that. One drop of Jesus' blood can cleanse you from all sin that you've ever committed. And it won't take 23 seconds. No, it'll just take you saying, "Lord, save me!" And if you believe it, and if you know that He's the Son of God, He will come down and cleanse you by His precious blood. The blood is vital to your existence. The blood is vital to the Word. The blood is vital to our worship. And without the blood, our witness is unprofitable. We have to have the blood. The blood was so important in the Bible that all the way up through the time before Jesus came, every year there had to be a sinless, perfect lamb that would come and be sacrificed in the holiest of holies. And they would go through all these traditions and procedures. And everything had to be done just so and so perfect by a perfect of the high priest, the one that had to spread the blood for himself. The Bible says in Hebrews, "Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once a year, not without blood, which he offered up for himself and for the heirs of the people." But then 2 verses later it says, "But Christ, being come a high priest of greater things to come, by a greater, more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither with the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us all." I'm glad you're a good person. And I'm glad you're here tonight. But more importantly, I want to know one thing. Are you ready to go to heaven? And the only way you're going to know that you're ready to go to the other shore is if the blood has been applied to your life. If you're not plunged beneath the crimson flow tonight, thank God you can come and He can wash your sins away by His precious blood. And grant you citizenship into that heavenly shore. So before we get to the other side, we're going to face storms. We're going to face sickness. But thank God if we just hang on. If we just hang on, we're going to make it to the other side. We're going to make it safe. And He'll bring us safely through by one thing. That's His blood. Your heads are bowed as they come to the song tonight.